Turn, please, to the book of 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. In your Scofield Bible, page 1270. We'll read just one verse from this chapter, the 18th verse. And then we'll go to another passage of Scripture after reading that verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, page 1270. Let's stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. We'll read this verse in unison, all of us together, please, on this 18th verse. Ready? In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Turn now to Matthew chapter 5, page 999 in your Scofield Bible. Be reading verses 10, 11, and 12. Likewise, we'll read these verses in unison. Let's read them together, shall we? Ready? Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. And let's pray. And Father, of course, we need your help. Without you, we have no help. We have nothing. And certainly we need to be yielded to thy Spirit and the help of the Word as it's preached, as it's heard. May we act upon it accordingly. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to speak for a little while this morning on the subject in instinctive thanksgiving. Instinctive thanksgiving. My text is, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Instinctive thanksgiving. Our Heavenly Father, here we are this morning to assemble one time only with this exact group of people. On our way between eternities, we come to this hour. We come as people, eternity bound. I pray you'd help us to receive what will help us to better enjoy eternity and our journey toward heaven. Speak to our hearts this morning, please. In Jesus' name, amen. The Apostle Paul said once or twice in his writings statements like this. He said, "I wish that you were as I, except in these bonds." He wrote that while he was in jail. And he said, "I would not wish for you to be in prison or tied in these bonds in jail." But he said, apart from that, "I wish you were as I." Now, I would never say that. I'm not the Apostle Paul, and I certainly would never say to you, "I wish that you were as I am." But I would say this. I would say, "I wish you could discover some things that I've discovered." If I listed the five greatest discoveries of my life, it would not be hard to list them. I'm not talking about the greatest events of my life. I'm not talking about the greatest days of my life. I'm not talking about the five greatest things that ever happened to me. I'm talking about the five greatest discoveries of my life. Number one would be when I discovered the Holy Spirit was a living person. One of the greatest days of my life. I've told about it across America. When all of a sudden, for the first time in my life, the Holy Spirit became real to me. You've heard me say this, but I speak more words audibly to the Holy Spirit and I speak to any one person in the entire world. He's a person to me. He lives in me. I love him. I walk with him. I talk with him. I follow his guidance. I receive his strength. I know something of his power. He's a real person to me. And that morning, early one morning, 35 years ago, when I was standing behind a pulpit, a little country church, edge of town church in East Texas, preaching on a radio broadcast, something that I said suddenly reminded me for the first time in my life that the Holy Spirit was more than an influence. I'm talking this morning to people in this room who've never spoken a word to the Holy Spirit. He lives in you. He's a real living person, has lived in you ever since you got saved. But you've not ever spoken a word to Him. Well, isn't it a tragic thing for you to have somebody living inside your body and you haven't said a word to Him today? You haven't said good morning to Him. You haven't said, I love you. Let me say just in passing, and this is not my sermon, one of the five greatest discoveries of my life was when I discovered the Holy Spirit was a person. I opened a little note this morning. Somebody wrote me, I guess, yesterday or today, and I read it quickly. One of our fine ladies said, Brother Hiles, I want to thank you for making the Holy Spirit real to me. Boy, I love that. I'd rather you say that than you preached a good sermon. Though I don't mind you saying you preached a good sermon. But I thank you for making the Holy Spirit real to me. The second greatest discovery of my life was the discovery that prayer was real. When I'm praying, I'm really talking to God. I mean, I am conversing with my Creator, my God. I am praying. It's a real conversation between me and the living, omnipotent King of Kings. I got the place, and I'll be honest with you, I'm at the place in my life where I would rather pray for 3 hours, and I mean this, I'd rather pray for 3 hours than watch the Dallas Cowboys play a football game. In fact, I'd rather do anything these days than watch the Dallas Cowboys play a football game. But I mean, you can put the Super Bowl on, for as I'm concerned. You give me 3 hours with God, and you can have your Super Bowl. Now, that's a great shocker to some of you folks. You can't comprehend that kind of a thing. But one of the great discoveries of my life was when I discovered that prayer is real. Sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care. And bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul is often found relief, and oft escape the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. Ladies and gentlemen, you listen to me. You need to discover there's a true and a living God. And you need to discover that that God is on His throne today. And you need to discover that that God will let you speak with Him and grant you your petitions. If you're right with Him, you can talk today to the true and the living God. The third great discovery I made in my life, and this is way back yonder, that discovery was that I could be a soul winner. I could be a soul winner. I never thought I could win anyone to Christ. I was the introvert of the church. I was the timidest guy. Just a young, they called me Jackie Boy when I was still a teenager. But one day, a man, and I won't go into it because you've heard it, but a man in the church, a deacon, asked me to go soul winning with him. And for the first time in my life, I found that I could be a soul winner. And by the way, so could you. So could you. There's not a person in this room this morning more timid than I was before I became a soul winner. There's not a person in this room this morning any more shy than I was before I came a soul winner. I wish you'd discover some of these. I tell you often, I hurt inside for you to discover that the Holy Spirit is a person. I hurt for you to discover that prayer is real. I hurt for you to discover that you could be a soul winner. The fourth of the five greatest discoveries of my life is that the Bible is the most interesting thing in print. The Bible's the most interesting thing in print. I wish you'd discover the Bible's more interesting than the soap operas. I wish you could discover the Bible's more interesting than the fishing hole. I wish you could discover the Bible's more interesting than the golf course. I'm not against the fishing hole. I'm not against the golf course. I am against, totally and irreparably against, the soap operas. And if you watch them, you're not right with God. There's no way you can be. But I'm saying this. I wish you could discover the Word of God is more interesting to read than the sport page is. I wish you could discover this book I hold in my hand is more interesting to read than the Life magazine is, or The Time, or Newsweek. I'm saying it was a wonderful time in my life And all of a sudden, I discovered that this book was the most interesting thing in print. Now, you know I love sports. I never get to see any, but I love sports. And I read the sport page. I keep up with what's going on in the sports world. But I'll guarantee you, I'll get more fun, more delight, more joy out of reading this book than all the sport pages and sport magazines in America. Now, I long for you to discover these things. I long for our teenagers to discover them. Whoever told you that teenagers are supposed to go out and not like the Bible, not like prayer, not like soul winning, and someday when they grow up and too old to have any fun and can't do anything anymore, they can be soul winners and love the Bible and find out about the Holy Spirit, sold you a wooden nickel. Everybody whose name is written in heaven is supposed to love this book. Everybody whose written in name is written in heaven. Whether you're 6 or 16 or 60 or 106, you're supposed to know the Holy Spirit. You're supposed to walk with God in prayer. The words abide in me and let my words abide in you. That wasn't written to for senior citizens. That was written to all believers, all of them. And I hunger for our people to learn and discover. I was thinking this morning, when I think of my ministry here for 29 years nearly, in some ways I think it's been a success. When I think of numbers, I think perhaps my ministry here has been a success. When I think of souls saved, I think perhaps my ministry here has been a success. When I think of buildings built, I did take a little thinking this morning and relive these years. In the 29 years I've been your pastor, we have built or bought 57 different buildings in these 29 years. That's over 2 buildings a year. Folks, I'm a rip-roaring success. You've got to admit that. But I'll be honest with you. When I think of these 4 things, I feel like a failure. The things I want the most. I'm not here to build buildings. I'm here to build you. I'm not here to put up structures made with hands that can be destroyed by hands. I'm here to place in you a hunger and a thirst after the things of God. When I think probably of how few people in this room even pray 1 hour a week, I feel like a failure. If you don't pray 1 hour a week, you can go to heaven when you die, but I'll guarantee you're going to have a hard time enjoying it when you get there. There are people in this room teach Sunday school classes on the deacon board, usher in the church, teach in our schools, who don't take 10 minutes a day on your face with God. That's not New Testament Christianity. My Bible says, abide in me. My words abide in you. I feel like a failure. You say, preacher, what's number 5? I come to that this morning. To tell you about number 5, I want to give you an experience. The fifth of the 5 greatest discoveries of my life. One evening, I was reading my Bible years ago. The phone rang 1 hour before I was to preach. I answered the phone, left my Bible open on the bed. I was sitting in a chair and facing the bed, had the Bible open right there on the edge of the bed. I was reading the Bible. Phone rang. In 5 minutes, I was plunged into one of the 3 or 4 darkest hours of my whole life. I didn't know what to do or where to go. Within 55 minutes, I had to preach. I went back to my chair and sat there. Put my head in my hands and began to weep. All of a sudden, I looked down, and my Bible was open to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It looked like it was flashing on and off. I read it. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, give thanks. I looked at that verse and I said, Dear God, I can't give thanks for this. He said, I didn't ask you to give thanks for this. I asked you to give thanks in this. Doesn't say, for everything give thanks. It says, in everything give thanks. That means in the midst of the darkest hour of your life, you're supposed to praise God. That means at the graveside, you're supposed to praise God. That means in the hospital room, waiting surgery, you're supposed to praise God. That means when the news comes that your loved one has cancer, you're supposed to praise God. Didn't say in all happy things give thanks. Doesn't say in all good, palatable things give thanks. It says in everything. That means in cancer, give thanks. That means in death, give thanks. That means in trial, give thanks. That means in heartaches, give thanks. Ladies and gentlemen, that discovery is the one of the five greatest discoveries of my life. In everything, I'm supposed to give thanks. But I said, I can't be grateful for this. And he said, I didn't ask you to be grateful. I asked you to give thanks. God does not say here, in everything give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. God is not saying here that you're supposed to give thanks for everything. Why, if the doctor told me I had cancer today, I would not say thank you, God, for the cancer, but I'd say thank you, God, for the Holy Spirit, and thank you for the Bible, and thank you for heaven, and thank you for Jesus, and thank you for my friend. That's what God is saying. God is saying there is never anything in your life that's so bad, but what, there are more things good than there are bad, and you ought not to groan and gripe and complain and be out in the mouth and get depressed. God, just say what and everything. Well, just praise God. Back down to years ago, Brother Roloff was going through his battles, and I went down to see him. And he had been through it. I mean, Brother Roloff wasn't happy if he wasn't going through it. He was right in the middle of it. I looked on a wall, and he's the guy that coined this. He had it in handwriting, a poster up there, said, "Praise God anyhow." Now, boy, those anyhows were bad. Praise God anyhow. I am so sick and tired of negativism, I don't know what to do. You know people that you say something good to and they'll find something bad to say about the same thing. I mean, the honest truth is what God is saying is when something what you call bad happens to you, instinctively, you're supposed to say, well, bless God. Hallelujah. Thank God. That's what God is saying. Instinctive thanksgiving. Ask you a question. Something bad happens to you. Well, many of you, something good happens to you, you'll find something bad to say about it. You instinctively have to look at the negative. You instinctively have to look at the shadow instead of the sunshine that causes it. You instinctively look at the thorn instead of the rose, or the half glass that's empty instead of the half glass that's full. Let me ask you a question. Don't you think that anybody in this room this morning has enough to praise God for to where, no matter how dark the day is, you can say thank God? God does not say here, through the Apostle Paul, he does not say here, for everything give thanks, but he's saying, it doesn't matter what happens to you, how bad it is, how dark the night, how heavy the load, how difficult the trial, God is saying, there's always much more to praise God for than there is to complain about. That's what he's saying. In everything, give thanks. I said, what do you mean? And when I said, what do you mean? Immediately, God reminded me of the name Henry Fant. That means nothing to you. Henry Fant and I went to college together. We'd just gotten out of the Army under Abraham Lincoln's administration. And Henry Fant and I went to college. Now, we were... We shouldn't have been friends because Henry was a nut. And I, being more the reserved type, didn't blend well with Henry. But he had an adverse influence on my life. And I became a nut too. Such as we saw the girl in front of us. We're in the third floor of the administration building in college, and she's taking her shoe off. And Henry took it and threw it out the window. I would never have done that. Oh, I ran down right quick and got it and brought it back up. Everybody believes that. I got some beach land, like to say, in Arizona after the service. Meet me in the balcony up here on the west. But here's one thing Henry and I do. You'd somebody walk up and Henry, they'd say to Henry, Henry, pray for my mother. She's got cancer. Henry would say, well, praise the Lord. I'd say, what? Oh, he said, praise the Lord for ambulances. that could take her to the hospital. And praise the Lord for doctors. And praise the Lord for hospital beds. And praise the Lord for oxygen. And praise the Lord for medicine. Now, you know, he'd cut up like that. And he got to where it's tragic. We went too far with it. And it got to the place where we couldn't even, if anybody, something bad happened to somebody, we couldn't even sympathize with them. Say, my wife's in a car wreck. Both legs broken. Amen. Praise God. Well, what about? Well, because her arms weren't broken too. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. That's as near to what this Bible teaches as you'll find. That'll come near exegeting this verse right here than anything I can say. God is simply saying, no matter what happens to you, it is not supposed to quench your praising and thanking God. What sense? God is not saying, thank me for cancer. God is saying, thank me in cancer. God is going to say, thank me for car wrecks. He says, thanking me in the car wreck. He's not saying, give thanks for heartaches. He's saying, give thanks midst heartaches and in heartaches. And let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. It's time God's people quit griping. I guarantee you somebody in this room this morning has already said, isn't it hot in here? Well, this is what you griped for last December. Now just shut up and sit there and sweat. But it's so humid. This is exactly what you had in mind while you were griping in January. But you didn't gripe because it's cold. You gripe because you gripe. You didn't gripe. You don't gripe because it's hot. You gripe because you gripe. My Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning Christ Jesus for you. That's the will of God. I'm supposed to give thanks in everything. Everything. Boy, I'd like to reach out and grab a hold of about 150 people in this room this morning. Choke you. So you could give thanks. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to help you. But as you always preaching at me, I'm not preaching at you. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to tell you, I don't care how dark the night, how heavy the burden, I don't care how big the load, there are many, many more things to praise God for than to gripe about. In everything, give thanks. I sat there on the side of my bed. And I said, dear God, I can't be thankful for this. He said, you don't have to. You be thankful in this. And I said, God, what can I be thankful for? And the Holy Spirit said, you can be thankful for me. And Jesus said, you can be thankful for me. Heaven said, you can be thankful for me. The Bible said, you can be thankful for me. My real friend said, you can be thankful for me. And I mean this. If that knows me, he'll tell you this is true. If they tell the truth. It doesn't matter what happens to me, I instinctively thank God. It's instinctive. Just like you, it's instinctive you to gripe when good happens. Isn't it a beautiful day? Oh, but it's humid. Isn't it a beautiful day? Oh, but the air conditioner's broke. Well, it was working good in January and you weren't happy. Man, listen to you something. If the world could hear Christians obey this one passage of Scripture, it'd transform our churches and our lives. And then listen to what we have to say. You remember that psalm over there? Psalm 126, when the Lord turned again in captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Said, these folks in captivity, I mentioned this morning, the Babylonian captivity. While they were coming home from captivity, all of a sudden they were free. When the Lord turned again the captivity in Zion, we were like them that dream. Like, for example, we can't believe this is true. We're free. We're going home. We're on our journey back to Canaan. From Jordan's stormy banks we stand and cast a wistful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. I'm bound for the promised land. You can't believe it. It's like like some of you guys about to get married. You're dreaming. You can't, but you want to pinch yourself. That dream will turn into a nightmare within 2 months. You'll still be asleep, but you'll be... But I can't believe it. Some of you gals, I am Mrs. John Doe. Oh, I can't believe this has happened to me. I am Mrs. John Doe. I feel like I'm dreaming. That's exactly what they said. And then they said, we like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. And once in a while somebody says, I don't believe in laughing in church. Well, you probably don't believe the rest of the Bible either. Then was our mouth filled with laughter. Some of you sanctimonious Pistolopians have said this morning already several times, I just don't believe in this kind of church service. I like it different. Well, if you like it different, won't you go more often? If you like it so much, why don't your church have church on Sunday night? You go back and get another dose of it. Laughter. Listen, you get redeemed and you'll laugh. Yeah. You get out of captivity and you'll laugh. They said, oh! Did you ever see one of those little guys, you pull a button, push a button, and he laughs? I'd like to trade him for some of my friends. Just push a button and he laughs. Oh! That's what they said. They said, we're free. We're free. And they're journeying all the time. And it said, then our tongue was filled with singing. They began to sing. They began to sing. And the next verse says, then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. What convinced the heathen that God had done great things for them? Laughter and singing because they had been redeemed. And then it said, they said to the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for us. Well, we're glad. That's why we're glad, because God has been good to us. That's why we're glad. And that's what the world's waiting for. Some people who are redeemed enough to laugh about it, redeemed enough to shout about it, redeemed enough to praise God about it. And then the heathen world says God has done great things for them. And then we can testify and say He has done great things for them. And that's why we're happy. And that's why we laugh. I'm simply saying, I know you've got burdens. I know you've got a heartache. But you've also got a Bible. You've also got heaven as your home. God is your Father. Jesus is your Savior. Holy Spirit's your Comforter. Bible's your book. And God is your Sustainer. Why can't you find something to glory and praise God about? What do you folks say about some of these fellows hollering right now? Saying, they weren't so loud. Well, add you and them up and divide by two and you'll have normalcy. I don't understand it. I mean, do you know, when my mama went to heaven and my mama died, the first thing I said, praise God. Thank God. Thank God for Jesus. 3 cheers for Jesus. Thank God for heaven. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the reality of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And everything, give thanks. I sat there beside the pit, looking at my Bible, that God had allowed to open to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And I thought, that moment of Mr. Gifford, whom I've mentioned so often, one of our fine men years ago in this church. He became ill. Couldn't find what was wrong with him. He stayed for a whole week at St. Margaret's Hospital. They could not find the trouble. And finally, one day, they called me and said, Brother Hiles, could you come? Mr. Gifford's just discovered a few minutes ago he had cancer. I got in the car and rushed up to St. Margaret's Hospital. This good man was lying there on the bed. I walked in trying to figure what I could say to him to encourage his heart. Just learned that he had terminal cancer. Before I could open my mouth, he said, Preacher, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. That's what this verse means. In everything, give thanks.
You don't know my problem. God does. He's the one that said in everything, give thanks. You don't know my heartache. You don't know my burden. God knows it, and He's the one that said in everything, give thanks. But you say, let me tell you what's happened to me. Is it a part of everything? My load's more than I can bear. Well, why don't you get the load bearer to get working with you then? God doesn't help some of you because He doesn't like to be around you. He stays far enough away where He can hear what you're griping about this time. You say, you're talking about me? I'm not preaching at you. I'm trying to help you. And if you change your attitude toward what I say from rebellion because you think I'm preaching against you to thanksgiving because I'm trying to help you. Instinctive thanksgiving. Instinctive thanksgiving. Henry Fant had the idea. My mother just had a heart attack. Praise the Lord. What? Oh, praise the Lord that they got oxygen. Not a bad thought. Praise God anyhow. So I sat down beside the bed, looked at the verse which God had turned to which God had turned to show me in one of the three or four darkest hours of my life, and I said, thank you. Thank you. Not thank you for this, but thank you in this. Our Heavenly Father, what's been preached from this pulpit this morning could change.